for your presence in our lives today. I thank you for your presence in this place. Father, I just want to thank you that we have such a great God that we can come to expect a work, a word, your presence, your peace, your life, every time we gather. Oh, Father, I pray that we would not cease expecting the greatness of our God to move in our lives in special, miraculous, anointed ways. That, Father, that it would be so, it would not be just an exception, it would be the rule. That you're so great and you're so alive and you're so real. That, Father, that every day we wake, we would say, what's God going to do today? What are you going to show us today? Who are you going to bring our way? Father, I pray for those kinds of expectations, even right now, as we open your word. I praise you, Father, for your word, and I thank you for what it does in our lives. And I ask, Father, that it would come to have its perfect place in us this morning, and that it would speak to every single need here today. In some form, some fashion, I want to thank you for what you'll do and how you'll move. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. One evening about 19 years ago, after we had prayed for and tucked in our children for bed, Lauren, our 8-year-old, at the time came into the room concerned about a knot that had appeared on her body. It certainly wasn't something that should have been there. I mean, it should not have been there. And it caused us great concern. And after praying for her and sending her back to bed, laying back down, the scripture, James 5:14-15, came to my mind. Is anyone among you sick? Then he must call for the elders of the church, and there, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who's sick. And I said to John Ann, I think God would have us anoint Lauren and pray over her. Now, we didn't have elders at Cottonwood at that time, but I thought as her dad and as her pastor that it was considered an elder according to Scripture. And so I wanted us to pray for her and anoint her with oil. And we called her back into the room and explained the passage and asked if it would be all right to anoint her head with oil and pray over her. And she said yes. And so I took this oil and I smeared it on her forehead and we prayed the admonition of Scripture. And I'd heard of this passage. I'd heard of it, especially in my late teens, but I'd never been a part of a church that practiced it, much less had elders. Lauren went back to her bedroom and lay down in the bed, and within 5 minutes came running back into the room explaining, it's gone, Daddy. The knot is gone. It's gone. 5 minutes. 19 years ago began this journey of mine of just really wanting to understand what this is and what this means. Can't tell you that we understand it completely. But I just know that when I open Scripture and I see in Psalm chapter 23, verse 5, where he says, you anoint my head with oil. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. What is this anointing? For we've been in Psalm chapter 23 for many weeks now. And we've looked at the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd, according to the New Testament, is the beautiful shepherd, the handsome shepherd, the excellent, the eminent, the choice one, the surpassing, the precious, the commendable, the admirable, the magnificent shepherd. He's the excellent in nature and characteristics. He's genuine shepherd, the precious, the competent, the able, such as one ought to be. He's the praiseworthy, noble shepherd. Beautiful by reason of purity of heart and life, honorable, conferring honor, comforting and confirming. He's good in every way. And he is good to you and he is good to me in every way. One of the greatest ploys of the enemy, one of the greatest lies of the enemy is to get you to a place to begin to believe or to begin to say that God is not good. But he is good and he is good all the time. No matter what you face, no matter what's happening in your life, God is good. And the question that I would ask you today is, do you believe that God is good? Do you believe that he is good even in the midst of loss? Even in uncertainty, bankruptcy? sickness. He is good. He is good. And nowhere better do we find it in this passage in Psalm chapter 23. He's the shepherd that's always present, always leading, always providing, always protecting. He's the shepherd who leads to quiet waters, green pastures, paths of righteousness. He's the shepherd that knows and loves his sheep, the one whom no one snatches out of his hand. He's the shepherd who empowers us and unifies us and follows us with goodness and loving kindness. He's the one who spreads the extravagant table before us, as we saw last week. But he's also the good shepherd that anoints your head with oil. He anoints your head with oil. Now, in these days, that is foreign to us. We don't understand that. But when you open scripture and you look at culture in that day, it was a very ordinary thing to happen when someone was welcoming a guest. They would put oil on the head, or they would wash the feet. Sometimes put oil on the feet as a gesture of hospitality, of welcome after a long journey to the house. We see scripture speaking of an official way. In scripture, the prophet would anoint prophets and priests and kings. When scripture speaks of the Messiah, the Christ, wherever you see Christ, it means the anointed one who's coming. He's the shepherd. He's the one that anoints your head with oil. He consecrates you. He sets you apart. And so you hear all kinds of things about the anointing. But for David, it would be a natural thing in a couple of ways. First of all, it's what he did for his sheep. He poured oil on their head. And that oil kept away mites and insects from ears and eyes. It was a balm for sores. He understood what oil did. With medicine oil, as a balm that would heal the sheep. But I want to tell you what I think. And while I'm saying this, turn to 1 Samuel chapter 16. I think what also is there's this reminder. There's this reminder of him the day that he was anointed. Now what I want to say is, you're turning to this, that I believe that when you look at the whole concept of the anointing of oil, that really the oil represents the Spirit of God, and we're going to see this all the way through. It represents as a metaphor of the Spirit of God. And so we hear again a lot about the anointing, or that person is anointed, or just however you've heard it before. What I want to say this is really important, that this, that I believe, is the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It is the smearing of the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of God coming over you. And what I want to say is, very first off, as we start this, it's an anointing for consecration and setting apart. And that's what happens to David. Notice in chapter 16, 1 Samuel, now the Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you grieve over Saul?" Saul's the first king of Israel. Saul has been disobedient. God is removing Saul and is raising up David. And he says, "How long will you grieve over Saul, since I've rejected him from being king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have selected a king for myself among his sons." But Samuel said, "How can I go? When Saul hears of it, he'll kill me." And the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I've come to sacrifice to the Lord.' You shall invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I'll show you what you shall do, and you shall anoint for me the one whom I designate to you." So Samuel did what the Lord said and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the city came trembling to meet him and said, "Do you come in peace?" He said, "In peace, I've come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." And he also consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. Now let me just say, do you understand what's happening? Again, Saul has been rejected as king. He's been disobedient a number of times, and God's had enough. And so he says, "I'm going to find somebody who's after my own heart. I'm going to raise somebody else." And so he said to the prophet, he says, "Go to this home, and I'm going to show you the person who is the next king of Israel. He's the one that's going to follow me in all my ways. He's going to pursue my heart and follow after me. And he's going to do all my will," is what he says. And so there he showed up at the home. And when they enter, verse 6, he looks at Eliab, who's the oldest, and says, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look at his appearance or the height of his stature, because I've rejected him from being king. God sees not as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Amen. He looks at the heart. He doesn't look at pedigree. He doesn't look at talent. He doesn't even look at giftedness. He looks at the heart. There are a lot of gifted people who will stand before God, and God will say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Many a talented, many a people who knew what to do with their money, knew what to do with their businesses, but they didn't know what to do with God. It's a very good, promising thought that would want me, and I hope would want you, to pursue God with everything that you are. Because God's not looking at your outward appearance. He's looking at your heart. Many of us, if we would spend the time with our heart that we spend with the outward appearance, would be stellar in our Christian life. Stellar. So concerned about what we look, so concerned about our dress, so concerned about the outward appearance, when all along God is looking at the heart. Well, Eliab comes by. He's the oldest. He seems to be the one that's the most likely to succeed. And God says, no, that's not him. Then Jesse called Abinadab and had him pass before Samuel. He said, "The Lord's not chosen him either." And next, Jesse made Shammah pass by and said, "The Lord has not chosen this one either." Thus Jesse made 7 of his sons pass before Samuel. But Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord's not chosen these." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Are these all your children?" He said, "Well, there remains yet the youngest. And behold, he's tending the sheep." Certainly not him. Certainly not the baby. Not him. Go get him. Go get him from the tending the sheep. Bring him to me. We will not sit down until he comes. And so he sent and brought him in, and he was ruddy and with a beautiful eyes and handsome appearance. And the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is he." And Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. Now watch. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. And Samuel rose and went to Ramah. And the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. And an evil spirit from the Lord would terrorize him. I want you to notice the connection. Very important connection. God chooses David. The prophet anoints him with oil, and the Holy Spirit comes upon him mightily. He is consecrated as king. He is set apart for a specific assignment, and a call is now on his life. This is an anointing of purpose. It's an anointing of impact. It's a setting apart. It's a sanctified work. And that's what this big word sanctification means. It means set apart, holy unto God's purposes. And David's purpose is specific. He'll follow hard after God's heart and will do all of his will, and he'll be king, a warrior king and a shepherd king, a mighty man in battle who would put foreign armies to flight. It's the anointing of God. It's the setting apart. Acts 13:22 says, "After he had removed him, he raised up David to be their king, concerning whom he also testified and said, 'I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart, who will do all my will.'" And the anointing is connected, my friends, with the Holy Spirit. It happened when you came to Christ. When you accepted Jesus into your life, the anointing of God came upon you. The Holy Spirit came upon you. You might not have felt anything, but as we sang, it doesn't matter what I see, no matter, doesn't matter what I feel, it's what I believe about the promise of God. And when Jesus came into your heart, that's what came upon you, His Spirit, the Spirit of the living God. And He set you apart in that moment. You might have been 8 years old, 10, 15, 21, 55, 98 years old, it doesn't matter. That the Spirit of God came upon you. He came upon you to consecrate you and to set you apart for this great purpose of advancing the kingdom of God. This great purpose of having impact, of having meaning, of touching other people's lives and bringing them with you to heaven one day. Bringing them with you to the kingdom of God. Men and women who now see a difference in your life, because that's what the anointing does. It brings a difference. Listen, anointing is not some preacher preaching a great message. If you're in Christ, you all have it. You all have the anointing. Why? Because the anointing is the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of God. And it's Jesus in you, the Spirit on you. It doesn't matter how you say it, it's just you got God on you. God, three in one. Amen. Listen, if you don't get anything else today, just believe that one. And I have the Spirit of God in my life. I've given my life to Christ. I believe that what he did 2,000 years ago, he did for me on that cross. And he anointed me. And I am the anointed of God. Now you don't say that in arrogance. You don't say that in pride. You just repeat what God says and you go on. And you move through life knowing that Messiah Jesus, the anointed one, has invited you to the kingdom of God. He is now the head of the church, the body of Christ, which you and I are a part of. And we are a part of the anointed one, Jesus Christ. Do you have that in your heart? Do you believe that in your soul? Do you know that in your mind? Do you understand that, listen, when the Spirit of God comes upon you, that this is the anointing? Acts 1:8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and even to the remotest parts of the earth. This wonderful word, witness, means that you see and you give witness to what you do see and experience. You give witness to your salvation. You give witness to your deliverance. You give witness to your ministry. You give witness in your giving, in your healing, in your provision. You give witness to the miracles that God places in your life, the people and the relationships that he restores, your peace, your joy, your love. You are a walking witness of the anointed one. That's what the anointing is all about. It's about the impact of God in your heart, in your life, to a lost and dying world, and to a growing people in Christ. Do you believe that today? Do you see it? It is a setting apart. Jesus spoke of Isaiah 61:1, just real briefly on the screen. The Spirit of the Lord God's upon me because the Lord Yahweh has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted, sent me to bind up brokenhearted and to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners. Keep that up here for me, Greg, for just a moment. I want you to know this is Isaiah. Several hundred years later, Jesus will open the book. He'll speak this at the inauguration of his ministry and will say, hey, the Spirit of the Lord God's on me. He's anointed me. He's anointed me with his oil. He's consecrated. He's set me apart to bring good news to the afflicted, sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners. I want to ask you this question, folks. Listen, very important. When you came to Christ, you got the same Spirit. Amen? It's the same Spirit. And he anointed you. He anointed you to bring good news to the afflicted. Some of you feel like you're so inadequate that you've got stuff from your past that you just can't get rid of for God to work through your life. Well, I want to tell you this. Jesus takes you right where you are, right now, right here, just as I am, amen, so that you might begin to immediately bring good news to the afflicted. You know what I found? When I'm afflicted, and I'm kind of struggling, that if I'll get out and give good news, my affliction all of a sudden seems really, really light as I see other people's afflictions in this world. And as they begin to get set free, they begin to find freedom to be delivered from the stuff and the junk of their life. Oh, my friends, oh, church, listen to me. He's invited you with this kind of anointing, this kind of power, this kind of strength, to give you a word to send you to bind up the brokenhearted and to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners. Amen. Hey, let me tell you something. I want to invite you on Wednesday night, if you're not working on the square, we're moving through spiritual warfare series. We're on our third night this night, and we're talking about these kinds of things, how God has provided us everything we need to live a life of abundance, but also to be a part of his work in this world. And we call it a walk, and we call it also a war. And our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against something different in the heavenlies. And we're doing that on Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. And we go from 7 to about 8:10, sometimes 8:15, okay? If I have a little more time, all right? But I invite you, listen, he's anointed your head with oil. He's consecrated you. He has set you apart for purpose to give witness to the greatness of our God. And listen, if you're not doing that, you're missing out on the purpose that God has ordained and set apart from the foundation of the world for you to live in and walk in. And I want to encourage you. This is an anointing. It's an anointing of consecration. Now, let me tell you, there's another piece to this. As you've come to Christ, He consecrates you and sets you apart. He also anoints you so that you may learn about all things, that you might be taught. And so we see this as an anointing that teaches. Turn to 1 John chapter 2, if you would. 1 John chapter 2. Great verse of Scripture that speaks to the statement that I've already made to you, that we all have this anointing. Everyone who has Jesus in their heart, every person who has received Christ, who's believed in Him, Him alone for salvation, you have this anointing. You have this Spirit upon you. Now, now notice verse 20. First John, verse 20. But you have an anointing. You have an anointing from the Holy One. You have an anointing from the Holy One, and you all know. I've not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know the truth, and because no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father, and whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. And for you, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and the Father. Now, I want you to notice what he says, verse 27. As for you, the anointing which you received from him abides in you. And you have no need for anyone to teach you, but as his anointing teaches you about all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it taught you, you abide in Christ. Now watch, now listen, you've come to Jesus, he's given you this anointing. It's anointing to consecrate you and to set you apart. He anoints your head with oil, okay? And then this anointing, the same anointing, the anointing of the Spirit of God will teach you now how to live in Jesus. To abide in Jesus is to live in Jesus. I like what one missionary said. It's when we go to the ends of the earth, we're going to live Jesus. Well, I'm going to tell you what. When you wake up, you're supposed to be living Jesus. Amen? Right here, right now. We don't wait until some moment when we're in the crowd that we're going to live Jesus. No, we're going to live Jesus right now. And the Spirit of God comes to teach you how to do that. He comes to teach you and show you how to live this Christian life, how to live the principles of God out. And you know, as he's teaching you, you have a choice. You have a choice to say no to it, or you have a choice to say yes to it. And I don't know about you, but I want to say yes to it. And I don't know about anybody else around this world, but I want to be a pastor of a people who say yes to this, who say yes to living Jesus out, living by the Spirit of God. And it's God speaking to you, and it's God showing you through His Word. It's God revealing to you. It's the Spirit of God revealing. It's the anointing that teaches. You've anointed my head with oil. You've consecrated me. You've set me apart. And now you're going to teach me how to walk this out. When I look at Scripture and I think about, well, look at all the ways that God has spoken to us. And all the ways he has said, this is the way you live. And so I just want to just, when I look at Scripture, this is what I see. I see that the anointing teaches you how to act, walk, and think. How to love, share. It teaches you what to believe, what to say, what to do, where to go. It teaches you how to seek first God's kingdom and His righteousness. It teaches you how to love your neighbor as yourself. It teaches you how to do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit. It teaches you how to look out for the interest of others. It teaches you how to be slow to speak and quick to listen, which some of us really need desperately, right? To learn, to hear what the Spirit of God's saying, to lay down my life for others, to learn how to be ready to make a defense of the gospel, to study to show myself approved. I want to be taught how to raise my children in the instruction of the Lord and how to do all for the glory of God. How to speak the truth in love, how to never carry out your own revenge, how to love your enemies. He wants to teach you how to pray for those who persecute you, to how to imitate the Father like a beloved child, how to be patient and forgiving, how to be wise in what is good and innocent in what is evil. He wants to teach you how to do all things without grumbling, how to encourage the faint-hearted, how to help the weak, how to seek that which is good for all. He wants to teach you to rejoice always, to pray without ceasing, and into everything give thanks. He wants to teach you how to not to quench the Spirit, to abstain from every form of evil. He wants to teach you how to be a doer of the word, to be on the alert, how to stand firm in the faith, to be strong. He wants to teach you to do all in love, to walk in a manner worthy of your calling, to be kind to one another, to lay aside the old self, to put on the new self. He wants to show you how to repent and how to believe the gospel. He wants to show you how not to throw your pearls before swine and how to treat others, how to fight the good fight of faith, to take hold of the eternal life. He wants to teach you how to walk in humility and how to honor your father and your mother, how to honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of your produce. He wants to teach you how to love one another and to pray for one another, to give preference to one another, to honor marriage. Men, he wants to teach you how to love your wives, to live with them in an understanding way, and to honor them and to nourish and cherish them. Women, he wants to teach you how to be to your husband as to the Lord, how to submit to them in everything, how to respect them, how to pray for our leaders, how to spur one another on to love and good deeds. He wants to teach us to set our mind on the things above, to consider the members of our earthly body as dead to sin. He wants to teach us how not to lie to one another, but to discipline ourselves for the purpose of godliness. He wants to teach you how to pursue peace with all men, to pursue sanctification, to endure hardship. He wants to teach you how to live in peace with one another, walk in a manner worthy of the calling, how to fulfill your ministry, how to be sober in all things, how to flee loose youthful lusts. He wants you to learn how to refuse foolish and ignorant speculations, to avoid worldly and empty chatter. He wants to teach you how to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. How to remember the Sabbath and how to worship, how to visit the sick, to feed the hungry, to clothe the naked. How do we make disciples of all nations? To speak truth to one another in love, to bear one another's burdens, to pray for one another, to walk by the Spirit. He wants to teach us to not give the devil an opportunity, to let no unwholesome word come from our mouth. He wants to teach you to put away all anger, wrath, bitterness, malice. He wants to teach you to understand what the will of God is, so that you're careful how you walk. He wants to teach you how to always make the most of your time, to be filled with the Spirit, to be subject to one another in love, and always giving thanks for all things. How to be strong in the Lord, how to put that armor of God on, how not to lose heart in doing good, how to do good to all men, to be anxious for nothing. He wants to show you and teach you by this anointing to put on the Lord Jesus, to make no provision for the flesh, how to accept one another, how to let your light shine, how to be salty in a very corrupt world, how to flee idolatry, how to confess your sins to one another, how to be diligent and preserve the unity of spirit of the Spirit, to consider it all joy when you encounter trials, to run with endurance the race that's set before you, to fix your eyes on Jesus. He wants to show us and teach us how to show hospitality to strangers, to remember the prisoners, to remember those ill-treated, to keep the faith in a good conscience. He wants to teach us to let the word of Christ richly dwell within us, and to do our work heartily for the Lord. And I'm exhausted. He wants to teach you about all things. You open the word and you see one of those great pearls of great price, and you look at it and you believe it and you say, I can live this, because he teaches me to live it. He teaches me about all things. He teaches me to abide in Jesus. He anoints our head with oil. I hope that every time you see this scripture, you'll think of these things. That every time you go to a funeral and they open this book up and they load a Psalm 23, you'll remember, he anoints my head with oil. He's consecrated. He's set me apart. He's teaching me about all things, and he's teaching me how to live in Jesus. He's the great teacher, folks. Will you let him do that today? Will you let him and allow him to do just that? He anoints my head with oil. He anoints it with oil. He anoints, this is anointing of consecration and setting apart. It's anointing of teaching. Thirdly, it's an anointing of gladness. It's an anointing of gladness. On the scripture, it says, Psalm 45:7, you've loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of joy above all your companions. Watch. Consecrates you, saves you, delivers you, takes you out of the pit, puts you on the rock, and then he teaches you. And then he's teaching you to walk in him, where you learn to hate the wickedness of this world and how to love righteousness. All of a sudden, there's a joy unspeakable in our lives. And it defines you. Everybody sees it. Everybody knows it. There's a gladness. And what I love what he says, and of course this is a prophetic word to the anointed one, Jesus, that we see fulfilled in Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews, who came and loved righteousness and hated wickedness, and God, his God, anointed him with the oil of joy above all his fellows. Yes, Jesus was acquainted with grief. Yes, he was a man of sorrows, but I want to tell you, he was a man of great joy. And I want to ask you folks, is there joy in your life? Is there gladness? I know the ladies are going through their Bible study right now on a book on joy. It's a great book. And I ask the question today, do you portray and leave joy in your path? Because this anointing sets you apart. It teaches you about all things. And then he crowns you with the joy of the Lord. And I want to ask that question again. How joyful are you? What is your glad? Where's your glad meter? Where is it? 1 to 10. Listen, to anoint your head with oil of joy above your fellows, it's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's how Jesus lived. It's how Jesus walked. Rejoicing in Christ, same thing, in the midst of loss, in the midst of hurt. It is the joy of gladness. Fourthly, it is the joy of healing. I'm sorry, the anointing or the oil of healing. If you have your Bibles, turn to James chapter 5, verse 14. What I love about this portion, as we open Scripture with story from this Scripture, I want you to read it in full. James chapter 4. I'm sorry, 5. Verse 13. Is anyone among you suffering? Then he must pray. Is anyone cheerful? He's to sing praises. Is anyone among you sick? Then he must call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed sins, they will be forgiven him. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. That's very, very specific teaching here. And as I said 19 years ago, when we did this in our bedroom, we're living in the house over here, and began this journey of what this is supposed to look like in the church. And I want to tell you this, as your pastor, it's one of the reasons, one of the main reasons why we moved to an elder-led body, so that we could biblically do this, okay? Now, the Bible says if anyone is sick, let him call for the elders of the church. Let him pray for that person, anointing them with oil, and the prayer of faith will raise that person up. Now, I just want to say this. I'm going to tell you just another little thing that happened before we went to elders and before we started doing this. My daughter Ashlyn had a really bad case of warts on her hands. And we tried everything to get rid of those warts. And one day she came and she said, "Dad, do you remember when you anointed Lauren oil and that knot went away?" I said, "You bet I do." She said, "Well, will you anoint me with oil and pray that these warts would go away?" I said, "You bet I would." And we took that oil out and we put that on her head. We anointed her head with oil. And my wife's my witness. I'm going to tell you, within a few minutes, those warts were completely gone. smooth as silk. And you want to talk about something happening before your eyes? That day, that did. You know, we shared this testimony sometime after that. And there's a gal in our church, Casey Sims, who was struggling with them on her hands and her knees. And we had elders at that time. Well, we have them still. But we had elders, and so she came in, and we prayed over her, and we anointed her with oil. And, you know, I don't hope you're not offended by this, but, you know, when I see you, and you know, we talk, and we go to lunch, or we have a counseling, I go to the next thing, okay? And I don't hardly think about you anymore. Don't be offended by that, because I'm thinking about you now, okay? And then I'm thinking about you now, okay? And so we prayed, and we walked out of there, and I think we walked out of there as if it was done. And it wasn't until next Sunday that I saw her, and I said, "Hey, how's it going? How those things going?" And she put her hands up, and they're smooth as silk. And I'm telling you, she's right sitting right here, and she's never had them again, have you, Casey? Never, ever, ever, ever have them again. You anoint my head with oil. Okay? You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Now I want to say this. Has this always been? No. I mean, we've anointed folks who've continued to be sick and didn't get healed and they died. Okay. And I struggle with that. But I want to tell you this. As long as I'm a pastor, and as long as I have that authority, we will do this the rest of my life. As long we will do this, we will say to you, listen, yeah, please, yeah, go to your physician, but hey, come to your elders. And listen, you're not gonna hear me all the time say when you're sick, hey, why don't you look at this passage of scripture and come see us? Because you know what I found? I have found when the Spirit of God prompts you in your reading, it's more effective than me going to the hospital or going somewhere else and saying, hey, let me anoint you with oil. I don't carry the oil around. Okay? I don't carry it around. We don't carry it around. If anyone's sick, let him call for the elders of the church. And let them anoint oil. And the prayer of faith will raise them up. They've committed sins. They'll be forgiven him. Keisha and her children are here. Levi died. And I will tell you, one of the first things they did, called us up to when he was diagnosed with this melanoma in the brain. And called us up to Fort Worth. And we went up to Harris Methodist and we met in this room. And we, elders, anointed him with oil. We all went up there immediately. And he ended up dying. He didn't get healed physically. But I want to tell you, Keisha, my dear, he was a witness and a testimony as he went to be with the Lord 3 o'clock in the morning that morning, never complaining, believing to his last breath. And I want to tell you this, he is healed today. Amen. He is healed today. But say, listen, he anoints my head with oil. He anoints my head with oil. And I want to ask you, church, our church, Cottonwood, default to that. Default. When there's a diagnosis, when there's something hard, when there's something difficult, default. Just a couple of weeks ago, Braden had an injury and in a football field. Okay, and the doctor said, it's torn, and came in here, we prayed for him, went back, and the doctor said, it's not torn. Okay, we've had Janine come in with some things, and some things that she'd been struggling with, and what? They were gone by Tuesday. Okay, amen? Amen. Joyce O'Donnell, are you here? Are you here today? Joyce O'Donnell, struggling with some fibromyalgia, I don't know if I say it right, so I'm just going to say fibro, you know what I mean. Been struggling with it. Granddaughter started struggling with it. Daughter started struggling with it. Three, they came into this room over here, prayed for them. Saw her 2 weeks ago. This was 6 months ago. He said, we're doing great. We are doing great. He anoints my head
with oil.
This is not some magic. This is not some voodoo. This is not some other kind of thing. This is just what Scripture says to do. He anoints my head with oil. He anoints my head with oil. He consecrates me. He sets me apart. He teaches me about all things. This anointing is the oil of gladness on my head. And it's the oil of healing. He anoints my head with oil. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray together. All right, God, I just want to thank you so much for your scripture, your word, and the things that you do as you say, you anoint our head with oil. I want to thank you for the consecration and the setting apart of every individual in this place whose name's Jesus as their Lord and Savior, who know them, who know you, Lord, who have been blessed by salvation. They are consecrated, and I speak consecration and setting apart over them this day. And Father, that you've gifted them with the Spirit to teach them how to live, to teach them how to abide in Jesus, to teach us. And I speak that anointing over this body today, that we have what it takes to abide in Jesus. I speak this knowing that whatever we face this week, whatever the conflict is, whatever's going on in our mind and our soul and our heart, that the Spirit of God teaches us how to abide in Jesus. And I want to thank you, Father, that this anointing is anointing of healing. And if there's anyone sick today, and I just say this, you may be sick spiritually, you may be sick emotionally, you may be sick physically. I'm going to tell you, God is the God of anointing. And He anoints your head with oil. He anoints your head with oil. And I pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that we would believe this today. And we would live this today. And we would walk after it today. And I pray these things in Jesus' name and for His sake and His glory. And all God's people said, amen. All right.